Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to Propaganda, the show where we find out what's been said about Leeds United. Dan, Michael and Rob with you on the show today. Brought to you with Levi Solicitors. They will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. You may observe we are all wearing merch as well. Some of it new. Look at that.
Mine's kind of hard to make out.
It's like a blackout t-shirt, isn't it?
Yeah, that sort of black on black, large square ball. It's nice.
It's very nice. If you want to check any of that stuff out, have a look. I think we've got to say when you're on YouTube, you go, the link's in the description, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that bollocks.
We've probably forgotten to put the link in the description.
No, I've got a template that puts it in it every time now. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good, very impressive.
Yeah, so you can find this on YouTube if you are listening. And if you are watching on YouTube, you can listen as well. You can get the audio version as a podcast. Let's get into it then. Two parts to this show. Propaganda first, what's been said by Leeds fans about the Chelsea game, and then we'll deal with what Chelsea fans have been saying about Leeds in the second half of this. First things first then, from our TSB Plus subscribers, the feedback form that we send out, what have we got? What was picked out? What did we get right, wrong, or otherwise on the match ball?
Well, something we didn't know about at the time we recorded the match ball, but I've seen covered comprehensively online since, and Nathan has pointed it out, the utter chaos and incompetency by the Chelsea stewards and the police. It did look and sound like absolute chaos. There's been a few videos going around. I think essentially there were five turnstiles and it took everyone about 30 seconds to get through them because when you were scanning your ticket, it didn't do anything.
There were reports that some of them weren't working as well, like one or two of the turnstiles weren't letting people through. So,
yeah.
Not good, is it?
And it backs up pretty quickly when it takes 30 seconds for a person to get through a turnstile.
You know when there's a crowd of people who are sort of stuck in front of like a solid physical object, you know what I find always helps is batoning the ones at the back to make them move forwards because that's never led to any problems in a football setting, hasn't it? Has it? Pushing people through gates and so on.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Met have said it was not to do with them.
Well, we know the Met are a great bunch of lads.
So let that be the end of it. I think Adam Pope was reporting that yesterday. They basically said, "Oh, it's Chelsea."
Well, they're the police.
Chelsea to do with that. But you were there, weren't you? Well,
just ask someone else. It's not. Yeah,
I suppose we were there a bit.
And now they've said that, we should just put that one to bed, shouldn't we? Because we're trustworthy.
But yeah, it's. I mean, it's a tough one because we often criticise new grounds for being soulless and. I guess this doesn't happen at a new ground because everything works properly and you've probably got a 15 turnstiles rather than five.
Did Ken Bates sort the layout of this?
I believe so.
Stadium.
Probably.
Are we going to peg this one on him?
Yes. He's not had a villain nomination, has he, for ages?
He can't. He's not eligible for...
Oh, of course.
Named after him. Yeah, that was the original rule if you are a long time listener. He can't actually take the award. Although he was nominated as a... Anyway, we'll get round to all that in the weekly show. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Chelsea, awful. Right, we need to deal with probably a lot of feedback on the Click situation where a number of people have criticised him one of the people has made us weaker from the second that he came on. Set up a goal with a really good bit of play, but also did give away that last-minute penalty. But I've watched it back, and I just want to peg the whole thing on Rudiger. Is that all right?
I think that's fair. On the night I saw Sid Lowe, who writes for The Guardian, and he's not a Leeds fan or a Chelsea fan, and he was questioning that penalty, and that made me think, well, it's not just me being Leeds bias if other people are questioning it as well. And I don't really know what he's meant to do there. Like, the ball comes towards him, he sticks a foot out to try win the ball like he would do at any other part of the pitch. And Rudiger, because he's soft, just falls over, and the referee gives a penalty, and because of the way VAR works, it's not going to get overturned. So he's sort of in a no-win situation there, I don't think.
They know how to game the system, don't they?
Yeah. Danny Murphy was saying the same on TalkSport, actually. I saw
Hang on a second. Are we saying something good went out on TalkSport?
Yes, when they say things that support Leeds, we're more than happy to talk about how good they are.
Excellent.
But yeah, he was saying you can't really give those as free kicks. And I think I said during the match ball that sort of a tackle happens like a dozen times in a game. And if it's not in a penalty area, you just don't go down because you're trying to actually win the ball and do something constructive with it. And the way I always think of it as well, which is something that I used to crop up with Grealish, because the way he goes down, he doesn't seem to play for Man City anymore, so it's not such an issue. But when he was at Villa, and
you said this on Tuesday morning, by the way, and we're playing Man City tonight.
Yeah, Grealish hat-trick and all that, or penalty probably is more likely. But I always used to think, imagine everyone on the pitch did exactly what Grealish does. You don't really have a game to watch anymore, do you? You just have a series of passes and people falling over with every single minute of the game.
It is getting that way, though, isn't it, at times?
And if that Rudiger one, if people go down under that contact, it becomes a completely unwatchable sport because no one ever stays on their feet, because unless you take it to the point where you say, okay, it's now no longer allowed any physical contact. It was one of those where I completely can see why it was given, because they always are. And it wasn't even the softest penalty given this weekend, was it? At the end of the day.
No.
But even so, fuck off. Get up, Rudiger. I hope he leaves. That's all I can say, because he's linked with Real Madrid, isn't he? Now,
he's not going to get a new club, though, is he? Because when they do the medical and they check his inner ear problem that affects his balance, they're just going to say, sorry, you can't sign for us. No, yeah, he's not going to pass the medical, is he? The big shit house. But yeah, that was really, really annoying. So are we absolving Matthias Klick of any responsibility there whatsoever? I mean, if you put your leg up like that and kick the bloke, you're giving him a decision to make. And while we all know, and I know it turns us into swivel-eyed lunatics, that doesn't get given at the other end, does it? There's no way on this earth that gets given at Stamford Bridge in the 93rd minute.
It doesn't get given in the first place, and then VAR look at it and they don't overturn it, I think is what probably happens. Mm. They'll have a little pause and they'll just do the check, and then they'll be like, no, it's no clear and obvious error.
Just on that, right, so VAR, Mike Dean, people think that, again, going back to the swivel-eyed lunacy, that everybody thinks that the ref's against them, and we in particular, we look at it, but you can't... Look at what happened this weekend with all those penalties that were given. Liverpool, Man City, Man City with the armpit, and they couldn't find a definitive angle to overrule it, so they didn't bother.
Apart from the one that everyone saw.
Yeah, apart from that one. And then, Salah doing Salah bits to get that penalty for Liverpool.
And the Leicester one was terrible as well.
Was it James Maddison who went over? Was it
Maddison or Tielemans? I can't remember. Tielemans scored the pen, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was now. But yeah, he basically runs past... I think it's Lascelles, and he's
it's a classic Grealish, actually.
He could run past him quite clearly, but instead he kind of dangles his right leg out to make sure that he gets some contact, and
he's already going down by the time the contact comes.
He's kind of jumped at him and dangled a right leg at the same time, and for some reason
The Grealish.
It is the classic. Kane does it quite a lot as well.
Yeah, and you can't think that when you see all that, that there is not, whether it's conscious or unconscious, a leaning towards the so-called Big Six teams, or, well, Spurs aren't any of it, but you know what I mean? There's an inherent desire to protect those teams, or whatever it is, or the narrative of those clubs being at the top of the Premier League. I don't quite know what it is, but that sense that there's just an injustice and it always favours those clubs.
Especially when VAR seems to be designed to just agree with the refs whenever there's a contentious decision, when the refs are making contentious decisions sort of blind, thinking, well, we've got VAR to back us up. But then VAR's just going, well, yeah, you said it, so I don't want to overturn you. And it's just a bit of a mess. It's the same in rugby league, where a trial, they'll go up to the video ref, but they sort of side with the referee's decision. So if he says, I think that was a try, and there's no evidence to suggest otherwise, they just go with the try. And likewise, if he says, I don't think that's a try, they'll just stick with his call and say, all right, then no try. And you think, well, but he's going to you in the first place because he's unsure. So it just doesn't help.
Yeah, we are in a weird situation now where things are both penalties and a third party, as in the VAR person, can look at it. And under certain circumstances, they'll say that is a penalty. And under others, they'll say it isn't a penalty. But it's not based on any kind of actual objective truth. It's based upon what someone has already said. Even if they're looking at it and saying, well, I would have given it, but I wouldn't have given it enough to say he should have not given it. It exists in
the fact that you can't
in both a penalty and a not penalty.
The fact that you can't describe it in two sentences absolutely encapsulates the problem, doesn't it? The fact that it's so complex and subjective, and yet so you've got effectively a subjective test in the eyes of the referee in the first place. It's then passed on to VAR, which is supposed to add more objectivity, but is influenced by the subjectivity of the first decision. It's just, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see it on a Monday morning when newspapers have a column from an ex-referee and they all disagree with the decisions over the weekend. You think, well, what's the point in this? If they are just subjective decisions, there's no consensus to be had. So I don't really see the point of it. You're going back to the point of VAR, and you know, it's not something I particularly like. I can see the point of it for what's meant to be objective decisions like offsides or whether it's across the line and things like that. But a penalty and fouls and things like that, even the interpretation of handball, it's all seems to be subjective now. So adding another opinion just confuses things more.
It was easier to accept when it had just been passed through one person's bad decision. Whereas now you have to quite often look at a penalty through the eyes of two people and you think, well, they've both got it wrong then. It becomes unforgivable when two people have looked at something and gone, yes, we're going to stick with this bad decision.
It does actually reinforce the idea of bias, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
It gives you a second layer of where you can apply more bias if you wish.
Yeah.
Which seems ridiculous.
There wasn't a moment when that went to Mike, what's his face? And you thought, well, he's going to say no to that. You knew, didn't you, straight away?
Has there been a single decision this year as well where the ref has been called over to look at the screen and then gone, and then stuck with the original decision?
No, it's theatrical. It's all theatrics, isn't it? So as soon as they refer it to the screen, I don't know. But I've not seen any evidence. I don't think
anyone's gone to the screen yet and gone, Mike Dean, shut up, you dick.
Yeah.
It's never a pen. Yeah. What are you wasting my time getting me over to this screen for?
I was right.
Oh, bloody hell.
But anyway, back to Click. I think it's fine that people criticised him. The reason it's gone badly is because people tweeted directly at him and sent him abuse and stuff. Like, I'm sure he knows he's fucked up there.
Whether objectively he did or he didn't, he's still going to feel like he did.
Exactly. I don't think people need telling directly. And that goes for all the players, essentially.
A number of people, actually, just going back to the feedback, mentioned the penalties and the refereeing. Roger, Winnie, Chris, Dan Ogden, Toby Lerone's back. Stephen Warnock, even. I don't think he contacted us directly about this, but has weighed in on the matter. And I will zero in on Winnie's point, who says, like Dan says every week, the Premier League is such a horrible place to be. The level of officiating, how the smug, arrogant big teams always get the rub of the green and just spend billions to right any wrong. It's awful. Simply awful. Makes one grateful for Bielsa. It does. It does, actually.
Yeah. The Steve Warwick thing, that was on the programme Sky do, where they break down decisions. Dermot Gallagher thought it was a penalty. Stephen Warnock thought it wasn't. Well, he was saying, his exact words were, if that's at the other end, Leeds do not get it. 100% they do not get it.
Yeah.
And he's
a 6'4" player should not go down like that, and you will get contact when a ball comes into the penalty box. Simple as that. Yeah, fair enough.
Let's think about what I'm saying. If everyone went down to that level of contact, imagine the scenes. You'd have like a dozen players all hitting the deck at the same time because there's been a bit of something like on a corner when people are all grabbing at each other. Imagine everyone falls over at the same point of feeling contact. Looks ridiculous.
Can we zero in on what Ray Wallace picked out now, by the way? The important issue of the weekend.
Which one's that?
The yellow socks.
The
yellow socks, of course.
Where did they come from? I think the short answer to that is Adidas.
Yeah, club shop, maybe. Yeah.
Do you think they bought them before they went?
That was the...
Rung up their rep at Adidas. I said, hey, lads, we've got a sock clash. What should we do? You got the blue ones. Yeah, can't you do any better than that?
That was Jason Pearce at Hillsborough, wasn't it? When they still had the club shop tags on it. I saw a clip on Twitter, actually. It was the game at Chelsea where Haaland and Kelly were both sent off. We had blue socks that day. So we do like a bit of a mashup kit against Chelsea, but it's unlucky now, that kit combination, I'm going to say.
All right, because we're going to wear something akin to that, aren't we, at Everton? We might even have yellow shorts there. Would you go white, blue, blue? Or is it going to be too similar, you know, in a passing glance to what Everton are wearing? I think we might go...
Bring out a new yellow kit.
White, yellow, yellow. What we should do is bring out a yellow kit and then keep it forever. And not luminous highlighter yellow.
Not fluorescent yellow.
Just normal Leeds United yellow. I'd go and buy it as a matter of principle because Angus Kinnear said they don't sell. So I'd buy three. I'd spend all my money on yellow kits. Prove him wrong. What else have we got then?
Charlie Cresswell gets a bit of praise, which is good. Tom Cole picking him out for storming into the melee at full time.
Again, Rudiger culpable in that.
Well, and Rudiger shied away from Cresswell because Cresswell got in his face and he just saw him and he thought,
look at his neck.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
Got a big neck as Cresswell, hasn't he?
Where's Dan James? I'm going to go pick on him instead. Who's a little boy I can have a go at instead?
I like his cameos. He's like a destroyer now, Charlie Cresswell. So I'll bring him on at the back to deal with Lukaku, concede, just send him up front like he has done a few times this year. I like that.
He won his header against Lukaku as well, didn't he? As soon as he came on, he got above him for it. So that was good.
Hey, good point by Grumpy Git Kev. I hadn't even noticed this. I hadn't even thought about it in the wake of this game. He says, I was worried at the start looking at our lineup, but I think this was the first game apart from against Watford, they don't count, that we actually kept a good performance up for two halves. Hopefully this is us playing at a more consistent level for a full match. Fair point.
Still lost, but yes, I do agree. We did play well in both halves.
But we lost to the refs, to VAR, to the Premier League machine, the military industrial complex.
Yep, that's true.
Everything.
Bill Gates.
Yep.
Bill Gates, he had a hand
in
it.
Oh, you've been for your booster this morning, haven't you?
I have, yep.
But be careful not to get marked down by the algorithm here. This is a joke, by the way.
Yes, Bill Gates is not inside me, as far as I'm aware. But yes,
not today anyway.
And we're recording the match ball later on when the side effects will really be kicking in. So I might be dripping with sweat on the match ball and shaking. But nice to have it done.
I had mine on Sunday as well. I think we've both been inspired to get boosted because Moscow's been down with it. He'll be back actually in a day or two, won't he?
Well, speaking of the Moscow, actually, fellow Moscow's West End friend Ralph, which is a very long title. We might just have to start calling you Ralph soon enough. But he was just saying that Roberts was very good again. And maybe if we keep Moscow off the podcast, he'll keep playing well. It is true that I think Moscow thinks he's helping Tyler, but all he's doing is heaping pressure on him.
Mm.
Now no one expects anything. There's no one in the Leeds United universe exclaiming him as the saviour anymore. So it's just an easier job for him.
Superb ball for Joffe's equaliser. It was a lovely. I guess you know the whipping boys in there in the form of Click and Roberts made that goal.
With Firpo and Harrison as well were in there.
That interchange of passes, and we did mention it on the match ball, but it was brilliant, wasn't it? And that little bit of interplay there, you're thinking, we're supposed to be a team that's gurgling around the plug hole and, you know, flirting with relegation. That's brilliant football, is that?
That was a moment of sort of textbook Click as well. That's what we sort of used to him seeing, where he shrugged off two players and kept the ball moving and kept moving himself. And then he timed the pass beautifully for Roberts, and that was a great cross as well. I think Roberts, he seems to have really responded to Bielsa yet again, kind of just publicly challenging him a little bit, and he seems to have taken it quite literally, because Bielsa said, as long as he's willing to fight for Leeds United, then he's got a place for me, and he's quite literally fighting at times now. He does seem to have added a bit of aggression to his game, and I think it's really helped, not trying to do anything fancy, but just being, you know, we were crying out for Bamford to be the same, weren't we, for a while, and it took him till he was 25, 26, whatever, to sort of develop that side of his game. So I think it is helping Roberts, just being a bit more aggressive, which we don't really talk about as for attacking players, I guess. I think of it as a defender.
I was going to say, I think Roberts now he does seem to definitely be a midfielder. I guess he needs to do that more, doesn't he? Because it's not such a part of your game when you're playing up front, but if you do need to get stuck in a lot more. Some of his tackles do look a bit red cardy. I will say, the way he launches himself. There was one in this game where he chucks himself into someone in the corner, and I was a bit like, ooh.
Well, that was one where I think he was attempting to block the ball, wasn't he? But when you saw him launch himself, you thought, no! On Rafinha, TJ does wonder why Rafinha struggled to be involved in the majority of matches in the last few weeks, with most of our play going down the left. And he does, or she does, mention that teams are doubling up on him, but it's slightly worrying given our general lack of creativity. I think that's true.
I think he's still involved.
Yeah.
It's weird, because there was the game the other week against Palace or Brentford where we came in and thought he was quite quiet, and then you see I think it was on Amazon Prime, they did a compilation of his best moments from the game. You think, Christ, he was actually brilliant. He did all these things amazingly well.
His bar's so
high,
isn't it?
We're just so used to it.
You don't notice the brilliant, sort of run of the mill stuff, if you like.
I know it was a penalty, but he still scored in this game. It was like the Brentford one. It was his corner, wasn't it, that led to the. I mean, I know it was flicked on by Ayling, but.
It was his cross for the first goal as well.
Yes, it was. So, when you say he's at play well, it's like, well, a couple of assists, goal then, goal against Palace. It's all right.
It has been touched on in one of the recent shows that we did about how we might be suddenly effective from set pieces because we've got somebody able to deliver it like he can. And again, you don't notice a bloke whipping a corner in over and over again, but it's certainly a lot more dangerous. Like those whipped in free kicks as well. Obviously, we saw the goal against Leicester because Schmeichel's a terrible keeper and a bad human, I think. Is that?
Yeah. Character.
But just...
Like his dad.
Yeah, just that low ball whipped in where it bounces like somewhere in the 6 yard area is a terrible thing to defend, isn't it? All it needs is a touch.
Yeah. I think he's doing fine. He's just shouldn't tackle ever again. Not in the box anyway. Because the more people can criticize Click for his, but Rafinha's one was really stupid, because when you chuck yourself like that in the box, it's always very dangerous. So don't do that again. And it's Rudiger, and he's not like he's about to score, is it? He's kind of right out on the edge of the box, and it's just no need for it.
I dare say both Click and Rafinha will learn from the experience of conceding penalties in this game. Like, just stay on your feet. And there must be such a temptation when the ball is there to be won. But then, you know, Rudiger's just stood there waiting for you to come and clatter him, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. You do wonder if maybe those sorts of tackles are the downside of murder ball as well, when you don't, there are free kicks in it either. It's just, you're just flying into each other and going hell for leather for as long as you can manage it. So
when Liam Cooper ends up by the byline and Rafinha's just not having it, just steaming through him.
We mentioned Firpo earlier as well. A few people, Matty, Pete, Julie, Nathan, all saying as well that it was his best performance yet and deserves a mention because he's come on so far from the Brighton game when I think we were all
well. I was going to say if you'd have mentioned to me at that Brighton game at half time and said Firpo playing Chelsea in about another month or whatever, good luck with that one. I would have gone, oh Christ, that's going to be trouble, isn't it? Mm. But actually, you can see how far he's come.
It's not even been a month, has it? It's only been a few weeks, I think.
It feels like a lifetime following this fucking football team.
He just looks like he's watched us play now and sort of fits in the team.
It's almost like it takes time to learn a system and figure out how your teammates play.
I'm still defensively a bit worried about him when he's run at directly because he doesn't seem particularly good at stopping that still. But
it's fine.
I suppose a fullback for us, it's not really a defensive position, is it?
No, I mean,
as long as someone helps him out.
And you know, they only scored one goal from open play.
That's true.
How many did we score from open play?
One.
Right. Yeah. So it's a one.
I was thinking, is this a trick question? No, we scored one.
One draw, then, isn't it?
One draw.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he played his part in that.
And Gelhardt, I mean, he does get a brief mention here, but he, as you would imagine, he gets plenty of hero nominations. So we'll maybe deal with him then.
There is that. It's an interesting. Well, we'll talk. Yeah. I guess we'll do it in heroes and villains. Yeah. That question about how much you use him, because the question that follows from when he scores is, well, surely you're going to use him more now. And you do wonder whether just keeping him just in that sweet spot where you're giving him little cameos where he can come on and influence a game when people are starting to get tired, games getting stretched and all that, whether that is, you know, it's going to be play to his strengths of being able to nip in between the lines and move quickly, whereas he might not get the luxury of that much space early doors. Although, that said, it sort of fitted and worked seamlessly at Spurs.
Yeah, I remember when, this is going back a long while, but when we first had Max Gradle, we were using him off the bench and everyone was like, he's really good, why don't we just start him? And then eventually we're like, yeah, let's start him. And then he was good. Then he was good for a full game instead. And it was a little bit frustrating, I guess, in the same way as this is with Gallagher, particularly with Bamford out. He just has more of an instinct about him, doesn't he, I think, to get in and score goals. He probably has more of an instinct than Bamford, truthfully, I think, from what I've seen of him. He's a lot more direct. He doesn't do the same hold-up job and the same running and stuff as Bamford, but in a different way, he's actually probably more effective as a striker.
I mean, Bielsa's already warned us that he tends to prefer experience over youth when times are difficult. And I don't know if this is kind of a template for how we're going to approach playing against those teams at the top of the table, in that we did sit off and we were kind of pragmatic. And then in the last half an hour, I guess it was half an hour because they went 2-1 in front, he changed things. But he did hold on with Gelhardt. Like, he was going to come on earlier, didn't he? And he just delayed it. And it's hard to argue because he came on and scored within a minute. I don't know. I think it is. The way he's using him now probably is the most sensible way to do it.
I have this discussion with my dad about Creswell, and he'll say, well, why are you not playing him? So, well, he relies on seniority in the squad, as you just said, Rob. He does rely on it. And when we spoke to Hayden Evans the other week on the Phil Hayes show, they understand it is a case of phasing players in over time and not loading too much onto the shoulders. So he may well be ready, but you've got to kind of keep him primed and ready. You can't just drop him in for 30 games or 25 games, because you will have ups and downs during those times, won't you? It's maybe better just to ease you into it and bring you up to speed. I don't know, just in fits and starts, not too much at once.
And I think there's always a worry that if you just play kids constantly at such a young age, they sort of break. I mean, Sam Byram did it 1 year, didn't he? He played nearly every game and then he was never really the same because he got a hip injury. So yeah, a bit of patience. I know it's frustrating because he does look brilliant and it would be nice to see a bit more of him, but you know, patience might not be a bad thing.
And final point then in this section relates to the game management, because Gary is questioning the game management in this one, and he's saying you've got to know when a hoof up the field is more prudent than a keeper chip to a player that's going to get closed down, and making rash challenges in and around the box. Great football phrase that, isn't it? In and around, stand them up, make them have to do something and not dive in. Yeah, that's what I was saying about they'll learn, won't they, about those individual tackles under those circumstances and where the threshold is for Premier League referees to give everything to the big teams, doing air quotes. But in terms of the clearances, I do agree with that. There are times when I don't ever sit there and think, just get rid. But you can sometimes see us playing ourselves into trouble, can't you? Because they'll do that little, either the chip out will work, then they pass it back to the fullback, or, and they'll start playing little triangles in the corner, and it does end up getting hoofed, and we concede possession anyway. You do wonder sometimes whether we've just played ourselves into trouble, and whether a slightly more pragmatic approach might work at times. But it's always easy to say that with hindsight, isn't it?
I was going to say, and we score quite a lot of goals from playing out from the back, don't we? And keep possession, and it actually does. If you can do it properly, you alleviate pressure because you're not just giving the ball straight back to them. And we're not a team that, although Chelsea did have more possession in this game, we're not a team that sets up to have 40% possession. Like, there are plenty of Premier League teams that are comfortable with that, and we're not one of them. Like, we do try and dominate a game.
I was going to say, the occasions when they did hoof it forward at the weekend, we were then moaning, going, fucking hell, what are we doing it to Jamie Shackleton or Dan James? Because they're just not going to win it in the air. And, you know, that goal that we gave away, the first one, was frustrating, and you could sort of see it coming. But, you know, this is what Bielsa does, isn't it? It's plan A, but do it better. Plan A failed, but it doesn't mean we should change from that. Because Dallas does take that touch a lot of times brilliantly, and it's such a hard thing to do. And the way we ask our fullbacks to deal with those things is really difficult. But if you get it wrong, just do it better, I guess.
Melier's positioning as well. No one actually mentioned it on the feedback, but it was a bit off for that goal. We kind of didn't mention it, and I think he's got more than enough credit in the bank to not be completely criticised for it, but it did look, without being a goalkeeping expert, you know, focus on the strikers.
Yeah,
it looked to me like there was a big gap there. And if I was coaching Mason Mount, I'd have said to kick it in the big old space.
It's a bit like the goal at Spurs that was at Højbjerg squad, where you just kind of go, why is there not a keeper in the net?
Mm.
But like you say, he's got the credit in the bank. It'll happen.
It's a dangerous way that we play. So risk is built into it, isn't it? And just to reinforce what you were saying there about that and playing out from the back, that's how you get through teams, isn't it? Draw them onto you, play through them and round them, and then you've got space to play when you get sort of into midfield.
It's one of the, when it goes wrong, you can always look at it because it's a very obvious, isolated mistake, and you can say, it's a bit like when zonal marking goes wrong and people go, oh, you need to go man for man, which ignores the fact that man for man goes wrong all the time as well. And when it boggles in on the post, you'll always get someone to go, should I have a man on the post? It's like, well, that's with hindsight of saying, well, I can see where it's gone now. I can see where it's gone wrong. I can say you shouldn't have done that. But I mean,
although game management, it was picked up on, I think, in the post match, wasn't it? Bielsa did address it and saying sometimes we just need to be a little bit cleverer. But I'm sure, you know, given that we've got Man City tonight, it'll all be fine.
We did see the first ailing flop since his return. Speaking of game management, that was good.
Yeah. We need more cheats. if this game teaches us anything, if we need more cheats.
Except Rudiger.
Yes, he did it. He does it with a sneer. Luke Ayling does it with a cheeky chappy grin.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Part two of the show is where we find out what has been said by the Chelsea fans in the wake of the game at Stamford Bridge at the weekend. What do we have, Michael? You've been digging around and researching this.
A bit boring.
Are they?
Yeah, a little bit.
There was an interesting kind of, is it a divide? Is that the word I'm looking for? Between people who were in the stadium and said there was a decent edge to it. It had a little bit of an old school feel to it. But then there's so much evidence elsewhere of them just being a massive tourist club.
I think
is it the tourist vibe you've got from the
Yeah, from the YouTube, we were saying before the game, Rob, that the kind of, we consider Chelsea to be like 50% modern tourist club, pretty boys, and about 50% sort of a bit more well-dressed Millwall kind of thing going on. And the online presence of it seems very much to be more the new fan. Like, they're all young. These people won't remember, you know, Gavin Peacock playing for Chelsea or Dimitri Karine or that sort of, the kind of fairly shit Chelsea that we remember fondly from our youth.
Is it Gavin Peacock who's now Man of the Lord?
Yes, isn't he? And a big old misogynist.
Yeah, he's a bit problematic, isn't he? I was gonna say.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, if that's what God's telling him, it's up to him, I suppose. I wouldn't go along with what he says. John Spencer, I think, is fine if we're just going to keep naming old Chelsea strikers. But yeah, so it's they're sort of a young bunch and a bit miserable generally, even though they won. We did get some info on. We've not got a clip of him because he was being smug, and I don't think people want to hear it. But Chelsea Rory,
he's a thick one off True Geordie, isn't he? As the Chelsea fan,
yeah, he's kind of a. I think he doesn't always realise they're laughing at him.
I was going to say, they all just laugh at him, don't they?
Or he does realise they're laughing at him and still subjects himself to it, which I think is probably worse.
Possibly, yeah. But he's, we did have some info passed on.
Do we want to identify the source of this information?
No, we must not.
Should we come up with a cover name?
Barry.
Barry?
Barry's been in touch.
Barry George has been in touch.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Not information gained from peering in through windows or anything, just to be clear. But he's given his information on Chelsea Rory, which has blown my mind, that he is in the Salmon Dance video by the Chemical Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it and I went, he's right. It is him. It is him. So, yeah. And I knew he'd tried to be an actor before, but he was actually in EastEnders for quite a few episodes. His character was in prison for trying to kill Ian Beale, apparently, which is no way to treat a soap legend, is it? I mean, so, yeah. And then some other things that we're not allowed to say.
No, I mean, we can't go on record saying that.
It would be identifiable with the other information, so we're not.
So Barry George would become known. Barry didn't do it. Barry George would become known to Chelsea Rory if we read that paragraph out, and we'd be libeling him, I dare say.
Possibly, yes.
He sort of encompasses both sides of the Chelsea support then, if he's in prison for killing someone while being sort of an annoying YouTuber at the same time.
Yeah, leave Ian Beale alone. Right, okay, on to Chelsea Fan TV then.
Chelsea Fan TV. This is a guy called Lewis. So I think he was on KG, friend of the podcast. He was on his channel, actually. And I don't mind
not
Lewis.
Not the detective in Oxford, no?
No, different one.
Different blog. Right,
Just checking. Different guy. But he's basically saying he thinks they got away with it. But then he does have the temerity to moan a bit about their injury problems.
Oh, awful, isn't it, with that squad of theirs?
I really don't want to be negative, but we got away with it. This game should have been a draw. If anything, we're lucky at some periods that they didn't get a third goal. Thiago Silva saved us in this match.
Yeah.
But we struggled. We absolutely struggled. The midfield was getting carved apart in the second half. I don't know if it was the case of Ruben trying to do two people's jobs, because we know Jorginho wasn't match fit going into this game, or that he just overall had a poor performance. But we got carved apart on the transition in the second half, and it wasn't good enough if we're talking about a title race, because these performances are happening too often now. And I'm not going to blame individuals. I'm definitely not going to blame Tuchel on this one either, because it's a matter of circumstance. We're dealing with injuries. We're dealing with a lot of small injuries in the squad that's preventing players from playing at 100%. And we're also dealing with the loss of Ben Chilwell. We've seen how important our build-up play has been from the wing-backs. And we can't accommodate for the fact that the middle just hasn't really been good enough, because now we haven't got the wing-backs to cover for that.
Football fans are really ungrateful, aren't they? I mean, genuinely. So you've got, did they go top with that win temporarily? And he's sort of, we can't carry on with these performances where we're not great, but we still win.
Yeah, and we're down to such bare bones. We've only got like £400 million of the players on the bench. Or however will we cope?
Okay.
But I suppose it's where they are. They're used to winning stuff every year, aren't they? Whereas we're still a bit more.
We're real. We're real. We're still authentic.
We're still fairly grateful if we've got someone who's like above 21 on the bench. We're like, oh, that's all right. This is fine.
And yet, as we said, we went toe-to-toe with them. So all kudos to Leeds United and not to Chelsea. Right, what's the next clip?
Well, he's trying, you can hear there, he's quite negative. And there's the woman who's interviewing him is trying desperately to get something more out of him. But he kind of doesn't provide it.
Getting back to it then. Let's end on a positive. Okay, you're Thomas Tuchel today. What do you say to your players?
Go away with murder.
Okay, that's not positive.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, as soon as that second goal came in, I thought, okay, here we go, two more points dropped. And then they gave us another penalty in the 90th minute. That's as close as you're going to get to just getting away with it. Like, we'll say it's luck, We'll say it's like, were we the best? Oh, fuck off, man. Knobheads. Like, you were going to say that it's luck and everything like that. It's not fucking luck. It's just shit decision-making from Leeds in the final third, I guess. Like,
but we took advantage of it, didn't we? That's the thing.
We did.
And I know it's two penalties, but
how many times are we going to get away with it?
Wow. Happy one, Charlie. I enjoyed that. Presumably that was the Met that were...
I believe so, yeah.
telling him to get off of the road.
A great bunch of lads.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Football's centres all mental.
It's probably all fair points. I think we were probably like that in the Championship, weren't we? We were a bit ungrateful.
It does feel very specific to the Premier League, though. I wrote the other week that it's not second season syndrome, it's Premier League syndrome. It's not that your players get found out or anything. You just get dragged down to that sort of level of collective misery that just nobody's happy, is they? Like, you know, you look at City fans winning the league every year, they look miserable. Scum fans are miserable. Chelsea fans are miserable. Arsenal fans are mental. Like, nobody seems to enjoy the Premier League at all.
I think Leicester enjoyed it last year to a point, and then they dropped out of the Champions League and they were pissed off, and now they're still pissed off.
Well, they've done that 2 years in a row, haven't they? So you have sort of two.
How many clubs do you think that are genuinely happy in the division? So Brentford will be quite happy at the minute.
Well, I think
West Ham will be happy.
I think we said last year we're probably the happiest fans in the division.
Yeah.
Like when we were
not anymore.
10th or whatever. Oh, not anymore. No.
No.
God, no. We're all miserable this season.
Obviously, Norwich are just happy to be here.
Yeah. Lovely, lovely time.
Who else have we got in there that's doing all right?
Newcastle are thoroughly unhappy. Although, are they happy because they've got the old beheaders in charge?
Well, they were unhappy for a time when they were under Mike Ashley. Now they're happy because the beheaders are there, but they're unhappy because they're in the relegation zone. But I think they are sort of mitigating it by thinking they're going to spend their way out of it in January.
I think Palace are fairly happy because they're actually playing some football now, whereas they've had a few years of kind of dire counter-attacking.
Who else have we got?
Everton fans. They spent their summer writing death threats on the wrong person's house.
They did.
So that goes well. Spurs spent a summer trying to hire about 8 managers.
I'd say Wolves are relatively happy as well because they've got some decent points on the board, and Large is doing a decentish job.
They feel like they're in a false position to me, though, the Wolves, because I've still not seen them play well and they just seem to keep winning games.
I was going to say Brighton will be happy, but we know from the other week
I saw that when they booed them off against Leeds, they were higher than they've ever finished in their history, which is amazing.
And Villa will be relatively happy because Gerrard's done a good job since he's come in. But that won't last long. They'll end up sad soon.
Southampton will get beat 9-0 any week, so they'll be sad again.
So everyone's sad.
Yeah, it's
excellent.
Great, isn't it?
Good.
Say he's been promoted.
Well,
Burnley.
We've got some more sadness coming up next. This is in the desperation to try and find someone doing something a bit different with Chelsea. I came across he's a child, so I won't mention his YouTube channel. He's got 3 subscribers, bless him. But he did a watch along for the game.
Are you saying we shouldn't get thousands of Leeds fans to?
No, I'll leave him alone. Right, he's doing nothing wrong. I just like it because it just reminds me of being like, I don't know how old he is, like 12, and just thinking everything's really against you.
That's not a penalty! That's not a penalty! It's stupid from Alonso. One thing, he's just invited pressure on himself. What's he doing? Oh, what's he doing? What's he doing? Oh, that's stupid. That's stupid from Alonso. That's dreadful from Alonso. Horrific defending. It's in pain past Alonso. He's just come sliding in. It's horrific. That's horrific from Alonso. Definitely a penalty. Oh, come on! Mendy went the right way. He started run up. Mendy went the right way. Still didn't get it. What's Mendy done there? What's he done? He dived the right way.
Oh, Mom!
I was going to say, he's getting so close to Kevin the Teenager there, isn't he?
It starts as well, but it's not a penalty.
Oh, it's a penalty.
That's a penalty. But still, it's not fair. And there's even more of that on Gelhardt's goal, where you can even hear at the end, I think you can hear his mum shouting him just as the clip plays out.
James, your sandwiches are ready.
Are you all right? You sound upset.
Shut up, I'm on YouTube. But imagine that's what we do.
The world's against me.
Oh, they've scored! They've scored! Oh! What's happened there? Classic. Typical. God's sake!
It is, that is Kevin,
God's sake!
I was just going to say, the start of that clip, he's really softly spoken, like, you know, when we contrast it with how bananas we were going in here when Gelhardt scored, and how annoyed we were when stuff goes against us, when we'll be screaming, fuck off, and things like that, like, absolute rabid idiots. It struck me then at the start of that clip that he was in his bedroom trying not to get told off for being too loud.
His mum might be one of his 3 subscribers too. He's like, I better not swear. I can't do it anymore. If she hears the bad language, I'll be in bother.
Well, he's putting his art out there for people to criticise.
He is, bless him.
Fair play. Fair play. Right, who we got next?
Craigo, 28.
Is that his age or?
Could be. I don't know. Maybe he's the 28th Craigo on YouTube. I think we had him last year on just saying how shit everything was, basically, after they drew 0-0 at Elland Road. They subsequently won the Champions League.
Yeah.
So.
Come see, come see.
Pluses and minuses, I suppose. It wasn't a bad year all in all, but he was recording inside the ground and a bit like the first guy was just thoroughly amazed at them getting anything from this game. So this is the Gelhardt goal.
They fully deserve it. They fully deserve it. And I think that's his first fucking touch, Gelhardt.
I don't think so. Looks all right to me. Chelsea 2, Leeds 2. 10 minutes to go if that.
And he's even saying they deserve it. Why are people being so nice?
And I mean, I don't know. I don't tend to play clips of the other team having good things happen to them because no one wants to hear it. But the second clip is of the penalty award. But at the end of it, he knows. He knows that they've got away with this.
How the fuck have we been that lucky?
How the fuck have we been that lucky?
Well.
And he's right, isn't he?
Yep. Badge on your chest, isn't it?
Next up, it is George Benson.
The popular soul artist.
Exactly.
Give me the night.
Taking a break from his guitar. Yep. And he's doing some vlogging about Chelsea. But again, just basically saying they got away with it.
It's one of those again where I don't know how we've got away with this. It is very, very lucky. I don't think we were that good today. I thought Leeds probably deserved to get a point out of this game. Chelsea get it done.
They did get it done. By the referee and VAR. Let's have something more wholesome. Come on, play Lynn. Let's play Lynn.
Let's play Lynn. This was lovely, wasn't it? She shared this on Twitter. And I noticed it's Bryn on the commentary, so I don't know if the club are dishing out secret links for the families to watch, or whether she's going via a VPN or what.
They're setting up some sort of back channel illegal streaming network.
Potentially.
Which we will report you, by the way, unless you want to loop us in.
True enough. But yeah, this is just a mum watching a lad score a goal in the Premier League, and it's wholesome.
Oh.
She runs into trouble at the
foot
and then runs out of it. And football has it now.
Someone's put on Snapchat as well.
It is, Lynn! Lynn! Yeah!
Oh, it's like the moment they've been waiting for years.
Lynn!
It is! Like, bless this him. Is his moment. He's about to step on stage and do the nativity or whatever.
I'm sure my mum's like that every podcast we release.
Michael! It's Michael!
He's gonna talk about Steve Nichol! bless him.
It's been Stevie Nichols' birthday, hasn't it? Speaking of Nichol,
it has to move on to the wider stuff. Yeah, no clip of him, but ESPN did put out a little best of compilation. But I'd be just nicking someone else's best of, which feels like cheating.
How did you celebrate?
Bags of crisps, eight bags of crisps.
It's great value, Stevie Nichol.
They did actually make him for his 60th. They got him a shepherd's pie that they presented to him on, and he thought it was a trick as well. He was like. He was like, there's no corn in this, is there? Because obviously he doesn't want anything but mince and potatoes. I think even probably the onion gets taken out.
He's really like, I've like turned his life into a sitcom, haven't
he? Yeah. Like, I'm not having any vegetables
He considers salt and pepper, like seasoning, to be just too fancy, doesn't he?
Potato is an allowable vegetable. Anything else? Now, mind you know he doesn't mind salt, given all the crisps.
Of course, yeah. Mind you, he might not want any seasoning on his food because of this ridiculously high salt intake. Anyway.
Bless him. But yeah, no Steve Nichol this week. But I've got a bit of Hecky, which is, we said last week how we were struggling to get his full philosophy across.
Which we know comes in two tenets, isn't there?
And it's the same problem this week. The game against QPR was postponed in the end because of COVID, so we don't know if the work he'd done on the training ground would have seen them manage both facets of his philosophy, but this was pre-game.
We've tried to stress the importance of playing forward, running forward, creating chances. And there's been a response, and it's been, while we still think we want to improve that further, just by the reaction speed to people after a game, there's been a noticeable intent from the players, which is great, that's what we want to hear. But we also want that intent when we've not got the ball. And
he's getting there.
We're going to start talking about running backwards then. We need to get better at that.
I was waiting for it. I was like, I was going, come on, running out of time now on this clip.
Yeah, so doing it with the ball, still not without the ball.
Right.
So that's a shame. We should probably finish off with a bit of besotted, shouldn't we?
Well, it's the weekly Brentford update.
Indeed. We had...
Obsessed, I think, was the charge exactly. level at you, Michael, in particular.
Well, someone has been in touch. He says, in between pissing myself laughing, I've been feeling a little bit guilty about what happened around 32 minutes on the 2nd December episode. Not sure if you're aware of it. He says, despite being a lifelong Leeds fan, he's been in the South for 20 years. And during that time, he's been playing football with a man whose name has been redacted, who's a Brentford fan and part of the besotted crew. Top footballer, top bloke, terrible footballer, big part of the besotted crew. So we messaged him before the Leeds QPR game and he mentioned us and said, he actually said that we'd been nice about them. And he thinks that this is how they've got onto us and started listening to our podcast potentially. So
do we have is he patient zero then? Is that what we're looking at?
Potentially, yeah. So I think he is maybe, it's been passed on to this man whose name we can't mention, who has then passed it on to other besotted people and said, oh, I should listen to.
Who, of course, passed it on to the Brentford coaching staff, as we know.
Yeah, everyone in the whole family.
The whole family know, don't they now?
It's like, you know, when you go around now and you see people have stuck like COVID stuff on bus stops and things. It's like that in Brentford. If you go down there, things, December the 5th, 32 minutes in or whatever, QR code, so you can get linked straight to it. So anyway, I listened to, because they were still talking about us, they did another Leeds follow-up podcast.
Another one?
And they took time again to, this is, I think, Billy the Bee.
Wow.
He was again trying to explain to us and to them what is banter and what is and isn't funny.
Factual and funny. Did we decide the two had to go?
He's kind of getting back into that, yeah.
Okay.
Score. Now, Leeds fans are turning around to us saying, oh, look at you, you know, you call yourselves a bus stop in Hounslow. It's like, almost like you are, you know, you are trying to take ownership of this, taking the piss yourself. And it's just kind of like, okay, that's fair enough. But there's jokes, and we know all about jokes. If you've read Besotted, if you listen to what we do, if you've listened to any of our live events or gone to any of our live events, you know that we like a good joke. We know that we like to take the piss out of each other. And we have banter and whatever you may call it with ourselves and with...
Not just a boss, but a great entertainer. That's what I'm taking from this.
Well, fans, if you're waiting for David Brent, be patient.
Up and down the country. Now, the thing about banter and the thing about jokes is they've got to be funny. If they're not funny.
He's right, isn't it? Jokes do have to be funny.
It's true.
To someone.
It doesn't work, like, you know. And there's just this, like I said, we said it before with Leeds, there's this really strange kind of slightly nastiness about their kind of joking, which is like, it's not funny. I could joke with Middlesbrough. I could joke with Preston. I'll joke with, you know, any other team and we'll have some jokes with them. But with Leeds, it just always seems to be slightly different. And we always try to reach out to them and try to be kind of friendly and see what it is. But it's always this kind of superiority thing. You know, we're bigger than you. We've got more fans than you. As we came out the
Both true.
Stadium, somebody shouted to us, yeah, where are they? The other two fans are over there. It's a funny joke, but it's not that funny because we actually bought 3,000.
So it's not factually correct, is it?
So it's not funny.
Ah, I got it now.
So it's kind of like in your head, if you're thinking that, you know, that that's the case, it's kind of like, it's not even funny, you know, but maybe it is funny in your world. But I mean, anyway, Laney.
So it was funny, but because he said that was funny.
But then
it wasn't funny.
He got inside and he counted and he was like, actually, no.
Right. Ah.
That's not. No,
I see the error that's been made by the Leeds fan there.
Wrong.
Now.
And he was trying to explain. That Leeds fan who said it was probably wandering off as he was shouting at the back of his head, going, I've just heard from the club, we sold 2,847 tickets. So actually, that's not too bad, is it, when you think about it? And it means your joke that you said a minute ago is. He's gone.
I'm talking to you.
He's gone. Anyway, this will be the last time we hear from Besotted. And, well, I think.
Until
anyway,
May.
Until we play them again. But we just need to. We just need to follow up on the
it will be great fun aftermath. If, I mean, God forbid, but if we are relegated by the time we play them in May and they're safe, you know, which looks like a potential outcome, I look forward to us doubling down on everything we said before. It'll really confuse them.
Correct. Anyway, having explained what is and isn't funny, they follow it up with this absolutely classic anecdote.
Oh, it's an anecdote.
Which I think we can all agree, this is good banter.
Well, what I'm looking forward to in this anecdote is this being both factual and funny.
Yes.
The two tests of humour. Here we go.
They clearly got beef with us. And funny enough, Bill, the beef continued yesterday. I had some unexpected beef. in the service station in Oxford.
Yorkshire beef.
Yorkshire beef, yeah, no, Yorkshire puddings and rare beef, raw beef. So I was going up to Stourbridge for an Aston Villa book launch event, and I stopped off for a quick coffee and a sandwich at Oxford Services, and I was just queuing up for Starbucks, waiting for my coffee to be made for me, and all of a sudden the quiet was punctuated by some commentary, and I picked up the word Canos. And this commentary got louder and louder. And I had my Brentford COVID mask on, so I had my Brentford badge right over my face. And I looked up and there was a bloke sitting there listening to the Sky highlights of the game. Anyway, he went, and Canos makes it 2-1 to Brentford. Anyway, so I said to the guy, oh, that's music to my ears, mate. And he looked at me and he went, you what? And I went, music to my ears, mate. I said, I'm Brentford, and just pointed to the mask. He went, yeah, I'm Leeds. He goes, I'm just listening to the last minute equaliser. And I went, oh, you've put that on just for me, haven't you? You saw my badge and you've put the highlights on just for me. I said, that's really sweet of you. And he just looked at me like daggers. And he said, it's a good season for you lot, though, isn't it? And I went, yeah, no, so far so good, mate. I said, relegation dogfight for you all the way, though, and just like walked away. And he was not happy, Bill. He was not happy, but
zing!
He put it on. He saw my badge on my face and he put the highlights on just to see if he could wind me up. So,
did he wind you up? Were you wound up?
Not particularly. I thought it was just pathetic. And then I had the last laugh anyway.
What a payoff!
Needless to say, I had the last laugh. He's not put it on just for him, has he? Yeah. He clearly starts the off thing off by saying he was watching the Canos goal. He was watching the whole highlights, and then he's just been bothered
sat there
by
just
him,
having
man.
A coffee and a sandwich.
And then somebody starts talking to you, a stranger in a service station. But
he's looking daggers at me. He's probably just thinking,
what are you on about, you weirdo?
The fuck's this? The fuck are you speaking to me for? Yeah, but that is good banter.
I mean, what a classic scrape that is.
Yeah, sorry for how long that clip was, but I needed you to hear the full excruciating detail.
I was going to say, I panicked when I saw that I was nearly 2 minutes long, but then I realised it was worth it for the line.
A master of his craft, I would say. It's like,
what he did was deal with the facts, didn't he?
Dealt with the facts that
the facts of the situation.
Definitely put that on for him,
which is what makes it funny. So thanks for that. Oh, bless him.
So that's the end of Besotted for a while. I hope, unless anyone gets in touch to say they've. Still talking about it, which I wouldn't be surprised if they are, to be honest, because we like banter. Banter's great. We like banter. Anyone knows me, they'll know I like a laugh and joke as much as the next man. But that, what they said, 5th of December, 32 minutes in, it was too much and it wasn't correct.
Isn't it brilliant? I mean, when you find someone who just has no sense of humour, and you know how easy it is just to go like that, prod them with the stick gently over and over again.
Just watching all things, every program on telly going, yeah, I mean, that is funny, but it wouldn't have actually happened, that would it? So.
And I say that as someone who's got friends who make jokes.
But, yeah. A lot of my best friends are bantasauruses. Oh. And they agree it's not funny what you've said.
I've got a vision of a man in a not just his Brentford face mask, but he's actually in the full tracksuit in the service station. Yeah.
With the face paint on as well behind the mask.
Game was yesterday, mate. Wear this all the time. Right, okay, that wraps up propaganda for this episode. Have we got another one post Man City?
We're going to try.
We're too bloody good for
it. A bit of a last minute scramble tomorrow morning trying to find
some clips.
So
we're going to be recording on Wednesday lunchtime after a Tuesday night game.
That's the one. So great. It was the, they were going to be shaking up in, wasn't it, last time from Cooper's tackle, if you remember.
Well, if all else fails, maybe we can have some more hilarious service station anecdotes from other clubs and other fans, hey?
I'll tell you what, I'll be laughing about that this evening. Filet and Red chuckling.
Do you have it on one more time?
No.
That's not
people can skip back if they really want to hear it. I guess you'd be playing it to your friends and family and stuff, but you'd be like, I'll tell you what, I've heard the funniest thing.
You'll never believe what happened to this guy. He was in a service station.
He was in Oxford Services and he decided to bother someone who was minding his own business and took offence at something that was nothing to do with it.
In the meantime, we'll be back with more Man City propaganda, and we're going to be doing a sort of a staggered weekly show this time, aren't we? We're recording part of it now and then part of it tomorrow. So we will update you on that, but it will follow in your feed after this. So cheers for watching, cheers for listening, and we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.